Welcome back. Hour number three already on this Monday night. Mitchell Henderson is here, and we always learn from Mitch. Great insights, great realities that aren't talked about in many other places, if any, sometimes. I think most people in the Middle East know, or should know, that it's Israel and Trump. It's not just Israel. It's Trump, the U.S., hyphen Israel. It's the U.S.-Trump war against Gaza, against Palestinians, against Lebanon, Yemen, Syria. We know the game now. It's Trump. I'm sure the Russians look at the Ukraine war as they did when Biden was in office. I don't think they were dumb enough to think Biden was directly involved with doing it, but his name was used. But now it's Trump. They're not up against Zelensky. They're up against Trump. Because if Trump pulled the plug, war would basically be over. At any rate, that's not a good situation. And Trump is not the good guy that we all thought. He just isn't. He's a Zionist stooge and servant. And it's embarrassing. It really is. It's awful. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here. Might I just add that yeah. Israel could not exist or could not do anything if it wasn't for the United States.
Its existence
depends upon us, but let me tell you something. We don't depend on Israel for anything at all. Israel has never came to our aid in a war. Israel has never sent money to help or assist us. Israel has never done anything for the United States ever. We have been bent over backwards to take care of Israel and keep it going. If Israel was to fall tomorrow, we would start developing towards world peace and prosperity for all humans on Earth. Okay,
Israel is the
destabilization operation maximum to end all. Okay, it takes peace away from the world is what it does.
You're right. You are 100% right. Yep. All right. What's on tap tonight?
So I'm going to continue a little bit from last week. We were talking about Videodrome and the video made flesh. I want to delve into that just a little tad bit more. Okay.
Right.
So
the
last time I talked about Marshall McLuhan and David Cronenberg's 1983 movie Videodrome, meaning Video Arena, which was about the communications medium of video, which would alter people's reality so much that they would internalize all the lessons learned from video, so the video would be made flesh. Okay, this is a knockoff of the Christian concept of the Word made flesh. Okay, which is Christ. So this is sort of an antichrist. This thing. So I'm
Mitch, I did this earlier tonight, but we have different people listening at different hours. I'd like to play 4 minutes of a video out of, through Taiwan, I believe, but out of communist China, the actual wireless mind control technology that they are now using on their own people, government employees, you name it. And we probably have the same thing. This will won't astonish you, but you'll say, okay, I thought so. But that's later if we have an extra 5 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay, I think we will. So Neil Postman, he was the chairman of the Department of Communication Arts at New York University. He wrote a book in 1985 called Amusing Ourselves to Death. They actually recently reprinted this book and put it back out there. Postman made an observation in the foreword that we were already living in a dystopian brainwashed world more akin to Aldous Huxley's 1932 book, Brave New World, than George Orwell's 1984 book written in 1948. Keep in mind that Huxley was a teacher of Orwell in college, so the two men knew each other's thinking. Postman emphasized that Huxley's
That's really interesting.
Go ahead.
That's really interesting that Huxley was one of his teachers, Orwell's teachers.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So know that.
Postman emphasized that Huxley's vision of the dictatorship required no big brother is required to deprive people of their autonomy and history. People will love their oppression and will adore the technologies that undo their capacity to think. This is from the foreword of his book. Okay? Huxley feared those who gave us so much information that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. Huxley feared that the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance, and that is what the video, what the TV, what the media gives to us, a sea of irrelevance. Huxley feared that we would become a trivial culture preoccupied with entertainment. In other words, we would be willingly distracted from the truth and reality. This is where we actually are today. Okay, I mean, everything is, I mean, you just go on anything, look, it's like you're just slammed with the opinions of celebrities and the personalities of celebrities and stuff. These are vacuous people, vapid in name, shallow, superficial, and this is what we spend our time on. Okay, yeah. So Postman wrote, and I'm quoting him here, he says, "Epistemology is concerned with the origins and nature of knowledge. It describes the definition of truth and the sources from which such definitions come. In particular, I want to show that definitions of truth are derived from the character of the media of communication through which information is conveyed." He goes on to point out that we are given the truth by performance and entertainment. News anchors with great hair entertaining us with fluff music in the background to make it seem serious and important. It is a show. Information is entertainment. This unserious medium is telling us what truth is, and most people buy it. Postman pointed out that Reagan was a Hollywood actor. Remember, he's writing this in 1985, and Reagan was the first actor to become president. Okay, we can see how important it was for the 2024 candidates to go on Saturday Night Live or the Joe Rogan Experience. It is about information through entertainment. Our current president has a SAG-AFTRA card. He is a professional actor who spent 15 seasons on The Apprentice Show. He has far more experience than Ronald Reagan had. It was pure entertainment. In 2008, it became The Celebrity Apprentice. It was power and competition pornography meant to entertain us. And then from 2017 to 2021, Trump was just doing the job of president, much like any other president. During the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, they used the rule of law and the Constitution through lawfare to attack Trump and his followers, crudely labeling half of Americans as deplorables, Bible and gun cleaners, and then outright fascists and racists. They used the power of government to attack, harass, and jail many Americans. Then Trump got back in power. Now the video has become flesh. We have come full circle. This time Trump knows that he must attack the cheap trans Marxist broke Democrats ruthlessly and destroy them and their lever of powers forever. He must kick them while they are down. That's what you're seeing going on right now. Listen to the pansy left now, screeching that we are in a constitutional crisis. Blame your opponent for what you do. The media drones on about Trump, about how Trump disobeys some American-hating Marxist judge who declares his use of the Alien Enemies Act unconstitutional to deport vicious criminals that are here illegally. Due process means submitting everything to a Marxist federal judge so that they can stop Trump. The resistance. But do we forget that Biden was in total contempt of the Supreme Court when he pressed on forgiving student loans when the Supreme Court said no? Biden could just go ahead and ignore the Supreme Court, but Trump can't ignore even a lowly federal district judge, okay? The hypocrisy and double standards are astounding. So we are to think it is admirable for a Democrat president to disobey the Supreme Court, where a majority of nine have to agree, but find it sacrosanct that a president must obey a single Marxist federal district judge. Do they really think that we are that stupid? Let me tell you now, before 4 years is over, democratically and legally, Trump will accomplish the following changes to the Constitution. Birthright citizenship will be over. Federal district judges cannot micromanage the president. Only a majority ruling of the Supreme Court can overrule a president's order. And that is the way it should be, okay? Even the birthright citizenship, that law was passed after the Civil War when you had to take like a month to cross the ocean to go somewhere, okay? You weren't going to make that trip if you were pregnant, I'll tell you that right now. No. So times have changed, and that rule is stupid, okay? So due process of law does not apply to illegal aliens. I think he will get that constitutional. Remember that the Democrats ignored the Constitution when they made gun laws. They censored people on social media, threw peaceful protesters in jail, and used the Department of Justice to attack and persecute American citizens. Do not be fooled when they're screaming about a constitutional crisis. They are the people who started it. They are the people who ignored the Constitution. And, you know, this is a law. This is a land of English common law. Everything is by precedent. If the Democrats can do it, that makes it okay for the Republicans to do it. They don't want you to think that, but that's the case, okay? Trump must be stronger than the Marxists, and he must be ruthless. Trump is making a political revolution in the United States, and he is changing the world order. So one of the first things he's doing, you'll notice, is the purge. When Trump took office in 2017, there were 2 million government workers. When he left office in 2021, there were still 2 million federal workers. Biden hired 1 million DEI hires in an attempt to permanently plant a million Marxist workers in the federal government.
Yes, correct. Yep. Absolutely. That's what they were. Go ahead.
He only wanted DEI hires in the military. Biden was overthrowing American society and freedom. Trump must purge them. Do not feel sorry for these people. Of course, he cannot be discriminatory in firing, so he must fire all of them. If you are not a Marxist, wait until the smoke clears and go get your job back. We need you. Okay. So I have to deal with the VA for my medical care. I can tell you right now, since I went down there and they had fired 11 of 12 unit secretaries, and now everything's so much better. They needed to fire those people. They treated veterans like dirt. I would go in, and the unit secretary would see me coming, and she'd get up and go to the bathroom and make me wait there at the desk until she got back her break. Mm-hmm. Or I would walk up to the desk, and she would get on the phone and call a friend for a personal conversation and make me wait standing there. They talked down to you like you're dirt. These people needed to be fired. The purpose of their job was that you were there to give them a job. That's all it was. This was just an effort by political patronage to give his worthless people jobs. Okay, these people do not serve anybody. They made everything so good. Listen, any dealing with the government in the past 4 years became more and more tedious, more and more difficult. People talk to you like you're dirt. This is what has happened. They need to fire those people. Okay? Don't go soft on them, okay? They need to go. They're bad, okay? So when you stop and look, I'm going to explain this a little bit, but let's look at this through the lens of the Marxist dialectic. So the thesis in World War II, the thesis was Nazism. The antithesis was Marxism. The synthesis is what we saw in the Biden regime. It was Marxist Nazism and elite capitalist Marxism. And there was a Marxist, but instead of the people's representative controlling everything, it was the elite rich people, the Zionists, that controlled everything. Okay, and I call it Marxist Nazism because in Marxism, what defines Marxism is class struggle. there's a struggle between the different classes of people. Well, you can't have Marxism in America because we don't have class, okay? There is no established classes. So what they had to do is make Marxism Nazism, because what defines Nazism is not class struggle, but racial struggle. And what we just saw for the past 4 years in America was using race to create conflict, racial struggle. That, folks, is Nazism. That is not, they are the Nazis. They are the bad people. I mean, look in Ukraine. What are these Marxist Zionists in Ukraine? They're using Nazis to go fight their wars and stuff, okay?
Well,
don't be
may
fooled
I say
by
something
this.
About that? This bothers
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sure.
I think that Zelensky and his controllers, and believe me, he has them, being that they're all tribe, same old people, cleverly pulled up and dredged up the World War II Nazi collaboration, they call it, between Ukraine and Germany, parts of Ukraine anyway, parts of the Ukrainian population. I think they did that to keep people thinking reflexively, oh, the evil Nazis, the evil Nazis. It's a misdirection. I don't believe they're Nazis. I don't believe they're National Socialists in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a label game designed to keep people looking again in the wrong direction.
Well, you're correct, but look at it this way. Who was it that the World War II Ukrainian Nazis, who were they fighting? They were fighting the Soviets, the Russians.
Of course, the communist
Russians. Okay, so this is a race thing between Russians and Ukrainians. They brought these people in to emphasize the difference between Ukrainians and Russians and create anti-Russian hatred, old hatreds from 70 years ago.
Trying to do the same thing.
Sure.
But this is actually
the same thing.
Jewish government in Ukraine against a Jewish-influenced government in Russia. And make no mistake about it, Putin has his own rabbi. Come on, it's not a joke.
Okay, so listen, that was what I just told you, the Marxist Nazism is the synthesis. What is the antithesis to that? We're seeing that. The antithesis to that is elite capitalist Zionism, which is what the Trump regime is. Okay. It is elite capitalist Zionism. In other words, they've taken off everything. But the people who are running the world are the very few super rich that own half of the world already. Okay, the World Economic Forum, the Zionist clique that runs the world. This is what it is, and this is the final stage. Okay, right here, because the goal, Marxism was a tool to establish Zionism, okay? But Zionism is the end goal, okay? That is what they want to do. Which, interestingly enough, Jeff, leads us to the great release of deep, dark secrets, the Kennedy and the Epstein file, okay? Do you realize that they will never, never release who actually killed Kennedy, and I'll tell you
why.
Because Israel had everything to do with that. And if they admitted what really happened, it would cause the American people to turn on Israel. They would not like that Israel assassinated one of our presidents. They did it with our compliance, of course, the deep state, whatever. But they were complicit. They will never release who was having sex with the little girls on Epstein's Island. They have videos of all these people having sex
it's
with little girls.
You're correct.
They will never release them This is what gives Israel power over the world. This is what gives Israel the power. I mean, when you see Dick Durbin up there saying that, oh, well, we shouldn't release these videos or this information or look deep into it, this is the act of a blackmailed man, okay? These are blackmailed people. Israel runs the world with blackmail, with bribery, with blackmail. The bribery is AIPAC, which has almost three-quarters of our congressmen on the hook, congressmen and senators. They get their campaign funds from AIPAC. Perhaps all of them, except maybe Robert Massey, gets their campaign funds from there.
That's That's correct.
So this information will never, ever, ever be released, okay? I think they were thinking, oh, yeah, well, we can push this up. Just ask yourself this question. If when people several years ago who said that they saw what it said in the files, they said, oh, it was just so overwhelming, it was so, you know, it was so shocking and stuff, and then you see what they put out and say, well, what's shocking about that? What is shocking about anything they put out? It's the same stuff they've been saying forever. They haven't really changed anything, okay? And as far as, oh, these papers do implicate the CIA and the assassination of Kennedy, excuse me, but you know what? Several years ago, Tucker Carlson already revealed that on his TV show. That is not news. That is something that's already been said and admitted to, okay? So just look at these people, you know what I mean? You know, talking about what we're talking about is the brainwashing that goes on, and I can see it, Jeff. I can see it. I can scroll through YouTube and look at news stories because they have all the media on there, right? They've got ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News on there. And guess what? I can look at the picture of the anchor. And I can look what they're talking about, and I do not have to actually stop and listen to them because I already know what they're going to say. I already know. It's an echo box. They just keep saying the same thing and over and over again.
That's right.
They
exactly
assume that you're stupid and trite in your knowledge, and you don't have depth of knowledge, and they just keep repeating this stuff, you know.
So, repetition. Remember, 9 times, it's all it takes, and then it's accepted as real by the consensus of Americans.
Oh, sure. The only bug in their plan was their COVID obedience test in 2020. I saw Fauci today was saying, oh, Americans just believe misinformation. The guy who lied to us, just blatantly and openly lied to us, everybody could see he was lying to us, he's up there preaching that, oh, we just believe too much misinformation.
Right.
He's the master of misinformation. He's a cold-blooded liar.
Yes, he is.
I mean, they have to say that. I mean, if Fauci ever was found guilty of what he did to humanity, they would put him on trial for his life, you know. So.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The evil that these people do, you know.
Oh, it's endless, Mitch. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
These are just evil people by our measure. By our standards of human behavior, these people do not, they don't adhere. They're different. They're not us. And I think, honestly, at this point, we're facing I guess reduction. No, that's not the right word. We're being demoted. We are no longer the most intelligent life form, and I'm using that term very loosely, on the planet. It's AI. And AI is running away at the speed of light, running away, never to be challenged, never to be headed by humanity. We are number two. And we'll always remain number two. And if I can play this 4 minutes and let you know what the Chinese are using.
Why don't we do that right now? That's a good idea.
Oh okay. Let me find it here. Hold on. All right. Now I got to go to 22. It's up in headlines, and you'll see it there. Let me see here. Get rid of this. It's in headlines. So 22. 22, these are 22, I think. Let's see. Oh, hell, I just started at 22. It's good enough. Okay, this is a Taiwanese, Chinese woman. She has a talk program, and she's talking about a Chinese AI scientist, brain control-oriented, mind control, named Chen Yi Zhang, and she's going to quote him now. Now this just gets better and better. All right, here we go.
6, Southern Weekend is 南方周末. And so this is what he, quoted to Dr. Deng. This is what they say. Those who control this technology.
How do you trust anybody named Dr. Deng? Well, I guess in this case you have to. All right, little time for a little laugh. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
We'll be able to control us, dominate us, know what we're going to do before we do it, and know what we've done after the fact.
This is right now, not in the future.
As the technology continues to improve, it will ultimately reach the point where we will do whatever they want us to do. We're witnessing the rise of a phantom of spiritual interrogation haunting the land. Our pursuit of truth will be subordinated to some quote-unquote higher social value, and facts will be extracted from weakened and manipulated consciousness.
Facts will be extracted from weakened and manipulated consciousness. This is Chen Yi Zhang, she's quoting.
Every such technology represents a violation of privacy and freedom of will. Because it can detect what you're thinking and doing at any moment. Your thoughts, memories, and behavior are no longer private. 2, it can interact with you directly through your brain, even extracting your memories and mimicking your voice in real-time dialogue.
It can take your memories away and use your voice in real-time dialogue with anybody.
3, it can forcibly implant dreams and control dream content. 4, it can make you smell artificially. It can make you smell artificially generated odors. 5, it can transmit its own intent into your mind during intense stimulation, controlling both your thoughts and behavior.
All right, it can get into your mind, control your thoughts and behavior with intense stimulation. This is wireless mind control right now being used in China.
6, it can mentally and physically torture you using various methods. If this system doesn't activate the interaction or torture mode, you may never even realize it exists inside you. But the most terrifying part isn't just the functions listed above. It's the fact that tens of millions of citizens are already being monitored 24/7, and most of them have no idea. The real goal of the operator or operators is to monitor these people, not just to test the technology. Among those unknowingly monitored, the majority are males aged 15 to 55, with a higher concentration in urban populations. The technology is now spreading into rural areas. In terms of profession, the main targets include mid- and low-level government officials and civil servants, mid- and low-ranking military officers and regular soldiers, teachers and students at universities and high schools, intellectuals, and some ordinary citizens. And it went on to say, why don't most of the monitored individuals realize it? First, the implementation process is extremely secretive. Second, the technology is wireless, so there's no physical sensation, and yet their thoughts and memories are being fully intercepted and recorded. In other words, whatever you think or do, they already know. And it went on to say, in 1996, China became a member of the Human Brain Project, a global initiative involving 21 countries. Today, most of those countries possess this technology, but for various reasons, they are unwilling to admit it. If anyone brings it up, the topic is either suppressed or distorted because the use of such technology is deeply anti-human and serves only those who control it. And it went on to say, the nations have even signed a quasi-Munich agreement regarding the regulation or the restriction of this technology. So it says, science is a double-edged sword. a force that can drive human progress, but also a tool that may accelerate humanity's destruction.
And that's total control over human thought, human dreams, human emotion. They're doing it right now, okay? This is not 10 years from now. This is not five. This is now. And when you honestly think about this, and AI, and plug AI into this tech, this wireless tech, goodbye. Goodbye. It's over. It's totally over. Real-time AI can do what humans can do, but 10 times better already.
Let me see if I can kind of explain AI's application to this, okay?
Good, yeah.
So back in the 80s, I took the Army's psychological warfare operations course, okay?
Right.
So the way psychological warfare operations worked was it was painting a broad brush, okay? But what you had to do is you had to tailor your propaganda and your brainwashing to what they called the target audience, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the target audience would be like the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Arabs, the French, the British, whoever it was, okay? And what you had to do is you had to consider what their culture was, what the cultural norms were, the linguistic understanding of their language and stuff, so that you could appropriately brainwash people, persuade people. Okay, so let me just give you a little example of this. Okay, to maybe make it clear. So this is back in the 1970s, the late 70s. I was stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas. So me and a buddy went over to Juarez to party, right? And we had just gotten out of had just gotten out to go into this bar. So in fact, we weren't even drinking yet. And these Mexican police picked us up and they drove us out to some place deep in the city. And we were both obviously gringos, so they didn't know that I spoke Spanish, right? So the one said, well, let's take them up here. If they have a lot of money, we'll rob them and dump their bodies out in the hills, desert, okay?
Yeah.
But if they don't have a lot of money, these are the guys that we'll take to jail tonight and have them prosecuted for drunk and disorderly, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I had sort of taught my buddy to never have a lot of money showing in the wallet, but hide the money in the wallet and just have a little bit that you're willing to lose or spend available. Okay, so we didn't have very much money showing, right? So then they decided to take us to jail. So when we got down to the jail, they took us before the judge, and the judge was, the cop said, oh, yeah, well, these guys, we caught them drunk out here and stuff like that. So what I did is as soon as they got done telling the judge, I spoke up in Spanish and told the judge, I said, well, you know, Your Honor, listen, my wife just had a baby son today, and my friend here was taking me out for some drinks to celebrate. Okay, now this was a lie, but a very intentional lie, because, you know, in Mexico, the Virgin of Guadalupe, motherhood, this is sacred. This is dear to their hearts.
Yeah.
So I appealed to motherhood, okay, into having a little baby boy, okay, and the judge looked at the two cops and says, surely you don't want these guys to go to jail when they're celebrating the birth of their son, you know. Yeah. And the cops were shocked because they realized that I had heard what they were saying, that they were going to kill us. And so they were like, oh, yeah, let them go. Because, you know, they didn't want me to keep on talking, okay? They didn't want me to plead my case anymore. So it's sort of a double thing there. And then they said, oh, we'll give them a ride back to the border. They said, no, it's all right, we'll just walk. And we said that in front of the judge and stuff. So anyways, we got out of jail for free, which is hard to do in Mexico. Okay, but
that's what I mean by target. Wow. Yeah.
That's what I mean by target audience. You have to appeal to your target audience. Okay, so this was classical brainwashing. Okay, so let me introduce a new factor: AI and what AI can do. AI can tailor it to you personally. It has the capacity to tailor the brainwashing to you personally, not culturally, not as a whole people, not even as a culture, not even as a part of a culture, but you personally. It can aggregate the information and target you personally for persuasion operations. Okay, so this is a big danger.
By the way, the brainwave profile of everybody is different. You have the same advantage of using fingerprints by intercepting radiating signals from people's brains. You can read it and determine in a microsecond who that person is, what they do, their whole life history, everything, because a brainwave is just like a fingerprint. Okay? That's how they do it.
Well, it's continue on, because this is something everybody experiences. When you are looking through YouTube, you notice that it responds to you personally to bring up what you're interested in stuff. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It can track what you're interested in. It knows what kind of music you like. It knows what kind of stories you like.
Without you even getting indications necessarily, that's what you're saying?
No, so all you're doing
you
is what you click on, what music you listen to, and so forth, does it. Right, it's updating that record constantly. Okay, so how does AI know about you? Well, they know about you by what you buy, what you listen to, what you watch. And this goes back, once again, to that media. The medium is the message, okay? This is how the medium manipulates you, okay? So they know all about you, okay? There's a reason, there's sort of an underhanded reason why they wanted to make LGBTQ RSTUV, whatever, why they wanted to make that accepted by everyone, okay?
Yes.
And that is, and I witnessed this as a vice cop, where you would always buy your porno in cash, because then nobody knows what you look at, okay?
Uh-huh.
So one of the objections people would have to having, like, digital currency is that it tracks what you buy and what you're interested in, okay? Pornhub does that to you, too. They track what your personal sexual preferences and desires are, and they feed that back to you. They feed into it, and they suggest new things to you, okay? So they want to do this because they want you to feel comfortable giving up your privacy. If they can get you to give up your sexual privacy, they can get you to give up all of your privacy.
That's true.
Because what is the most personal, private thing that you do, the most personal, private thing you do is sex. If they can get you to just think, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what your sex is and all that, and your preferences are just, then you're
so
ready to take digital currency.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have never looked at porn. Never. So there's nothing, they got nothing on me in that regard. But I do think, unfortunately, most people do, in the privacy of their own home, thinking they have privacy, and they nothing can be further from the truth. So
there's 1.2 million women on OnlyFans that are OnlyFans stars.
That's hard to believe.
And they have an audience of 38 million people are subscribers to that 1.2 million. Yeah, members to that 1.2 million girls.
These 1.2 million girls are whores. They're selling themselves for money. It's the same idea.
Sure. Now, I can't profess to know a lot about it because I've never actually looked at OnlyFans, so I don't know what it's about or how it works, but I know the statistics on it.
Well, here's how it works. I know how it works.
This goes to the video. This is the video made flesh, okay? You're incorporating all this. Even your most private sexual life is a part of the video arena now, the public square. There is no privacy left.
No, okay? No. What happens, Mitch, these girls often will post, I guess, suggestive pictures of themselves on social media. And then they'll mention, by the way, you can visit my what is it? Only Girls or whatever the hell it is. Anyway,
OnlyFans.
Go to my OnlyFans page.
Yeah.
And for $10, you can see it all. One woman I saw has made either $34 or $43 million on this.
Sure.
I can't believe it, but they did. Anyway, that's the deal. So once you get in line with that, once you start looking, they got you. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's sad. Very sad.
So that's the take-home point here is the way they get you to open up and give up your privacy is basically through that, through sex. If they can get you to give up your sexual privacy, then they have then they can get you to just give up everything. Okay. So
I think you're right.
That was intentional.
Out.
That was very.
So all you people watching porn in the privacy of your own home couldn't be more incorrect. There's no privacy. Everything you do is tracked. Everything. I look at, they have things on YouTube. They're not, it's not porn. It's silly stuff.
Yeah.
Silly stuff. And I'll sometimes look at that to see what they're saying. America's Got Talent and stuff like that. It's just stupid. And to monitor the stupid meter about what people are watching without going to porn is enlightening in and of itself. It's pretty scary. 5 hours a day on the cell phone on the average? Wow.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, I even remember in the 1980s they were complaining that people spend a minimum of about 40 hours in front of the TV each week. As opposed
same
to
thing.
1 hour going to church.
Screen addiction. Same thing.
Yeah,
screen
1 hour
addiction.
Going to church.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So who do you think's programming it? Okay. Keep in mind that what is worship? What worship is simply what you pay attention to. The more you pay attention to something, the more you're worshiping it. Okay. So this is sort of... It's what we do. There's so many things about mystery whore Babylon, the United States, that includes both sodomy and the idolatry of sex of women. You know, I mean, it all comes down to Ishtar, Isis, Ashtaroth. All the female gods of Babylon and the temple prostitutes. Why did you go to the temple? Yeah, this was entertainment, okay? This ancient idolatry in Babylon, this was entertainment to people. I mean, the guys, hey, it's Friday night, let's go down and hit the temple prostitutes. This is what we do. And now it says how many people get all their sexual gratification vicariously. Okay, they're not actually engaging with a woman. Okay, they're doing it through OnlyFans and pornography. When I was in the Vice Squad, I saw this. It's like you go into an exotic club, and what they're doing is they're just clip joints. They're just taking your money from you. And most of the time you're not going to get sex, but if you want some, you can get some. I made many prostitution cases inside of exotic dancing clubs and stuff. So, you know, don't let them kid you. They try to act like they're not prostitutes, but if I ever, made it easy for them, they would come around to saying, hey, you know, I get off work in a little bit, we can just go to my place. But they want good money for it. Well, it was no problem for me as a cop because I wasn't going to pay them anyway. I'm just going to arrest them when we get to their place. So, you know. But they would always claim, oh, well, I'm not a hooker and stuff. But, yes, they are. Okay. So.
Yeah, I got it. Well, how interesting. Everything known, no secrets, no privacy, surveilled all the time. So what, pray tell, is the, quote, reality for most people who watch these screens 5 hours a day? It's their decision of reality, but it isn't their decision. It's a reality that is created for them. They live in a fake reality. It's not theirs.
Yep.
Anyhow, that's just the way it was designed. And they have so much technology now that they're not talking about. I'm convinced that they haven't released GPT-5 because people can't, they're not smart enough to use it. So they're letting out little pieces of it with 4.0, 4.1, 4.2, whatever it is. It's 4 point this, I don't know. Anyway, they're kind of expanding GPT-4. Because the people aren't smart enough to use something with a 1,500 IQ when theirs is about 100.
But listen. At the same time, I want everybody to remember this old thing, because back in the 80s when I was in the university and taking courses in computers, they had this term that I haven't heard in a long time, and it was GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, okay? They act and pretend that GIGO no longer exists, but people, it does exist. This AI, its intelligence is programmed. They only know what they're told. The reality that is created for the AI is a manufactured and a controlled reality. It's not going to repeat. It's not going to tell you the truth. It's going to tell you what they want it to tell you, okay? So garbage in, garbage out still applies, okay? Even to AI, it applies.
Gotcha. Well, I couldn't agree more. And that garbage in, garbage out is creating reality. Because when these people, my God, 5 hours a day, and something comes to mind that they need to think about, what do they use as reference points, i.e. their reality, other than what they've seen on the screens for years? That repetition rule works. 9 times repetition, and it becomes part of their reality. So that's how it's done. It's not a mystery.
Well, you know, that works, too. I have these friends, and they have, like, lots of kids and stuff. And for years, I always had a problem remembering the kids' names and stuff. So we went out to pizza one day. I took them out, you know, the whole family went out to pizza. And I was like, how am I going to remember all these names? And one of the little girls said, well, you know what? If you look at me and you say my name 10 times, you will always remember my name. And so I did that to each of the kids. And you know what? Yeah. To this day, I remember all their names. So that repetition, that's how you implant things in your head. And this is a little, like, 8-year-old girl who taught me this, you know. But it works, you know. So
That's crazy. It's fun. It's true. We have been left in the dust by AI. And look at the top of the homepage. Look at the humanoid AI robot. And remember, as good as that robot is now, the next generation will be perfect. You won't be able to tell. The movements will be so smooth, they'll look exactly like a human. They're close. And they'll connect that robot to AI knowledge. Whichever base, whichever program, whether it's Grok 3, whatever, they'll connect it to an AI source. And you'll be able to talk to it, and get answers about anything, and it'll walk and talk just like a person. Take a look at the top of the homepage. Look how close they're getting now with movement of a robot humanoid. It's very close. Mitchell, thank you. Very good, as always.
You're welcome.
We'll look forward to our next visit. Be safe.
Okay, you too, and everybody else out there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. Thank you. All right. That's it for tonight. It's Monday. Now it's Tuesday. Talk soon, as in 21 hours. Thank you for being here tonight. Take care.